Once upon a time, in an age of forests and firelights, our ancestors were wise to the spectrum of human identity. Among the fairy tales and myths they told were stories of glass coffins and marble statues, eunuchs and androgynes, chaste marriages and bodily transformations, symbolic stories that hint at other identities, tales of asexuality. This is the Asexual Fairy Tales Podcast, and I'm your storyteller, Elizabeth Hopkinson. Each month, I'll be reading you another story from my books of asexual fairy tales. Some of these are old tales of myth and legend, in which I first found representation for my asexual identity. Others are original stories by me, based on traditional motifs. It's a personal selection, but I hope you find something in it that speaks to you too. So, sit back, if you are able, relax, and enjoy another asexual fairy tale. Hello, and welcome to the Asexual Fairy Tales Podcast, with me, Elizabeth Hopkinson. Today, I'm continuing my readings from the second book in the Asexual Fairy Tales series, Asexual Myths and Tales. All three books are published by Silverwood Books. You can get them from the Silverwood website, or you can order them from anywhere that you normally get your books, either your ebooks or your paperbacks. And don't forget, I also have my new novel out, Cage of Nightingales, with an asexual protagonist, which is published by Deep Hearts YA. You can go to their site, or again, you can order in Cage of Nightingales anywhere that you get your books, either ebooks or paperback. Today I'm going to be reading my version of Snow White and Rose Red, which comes from Grimm's Fairy Tales. And unlike many of the tales in Grimm's collection, it was largely inspired by a literary fairy tale by Caroline Stahl called The Ungrateful Dwarf. In Stahl's version, there is no bear, which is a little bit of a disappointment because I really like the bear. But the sisters overcome the dwarf and live happily together, unmarried. And interestingly, Stahl herself was unmarried, and often in her literary fairy tales, she would swap the traditional lovers for siblings. So I find that very interesting, and you wonder about her and about her orientation. Very different to Wilhelm Grimm, who was happily married to his next-door neighbour Dirchenfeld, the source of many of his fairy tales. So I decided to create my own unique version of the tale, and in writing this I couldn't help fusing it with another tale of sisters outwitting goblins, which is Christina Rossetti's famous poem Goblin Market. It's a little bit weird because I actually find Goblin Market disturbingly sexual, but somehow it seems to work here. I would like to point out that in some cultures the beard is a symbol of virility, male virility. It's kind of understandable, and so to repeatedly cut the beard is to break its power. The bear is often a symbol of resurrection because it hibernates during the winter, of course. And my Snow White and Rose Red, in my version of the story, are asexual and demisexual, so they create a little spectrum of their own. I don't have a sister, but I do have a daughter, and through these books of tales we are working together to fight the goblins. There is no friend like a sister, and there were no sisters like Snow White and Rose Red. They were named for the twin rose bushes that grew outside their mother's cottage, one white and the other red. Snow White was pale of skin, quiet and gentle. She was happy to walk alone, or to work in silence, deft of needle and knowledgeable of herb lore. Rose Red was as dark and rosy as her namesake. She loved to dance and sing, to run down the hillside for sheer freedom. It was she who would brave the hiss of the goose to collect its eggs, or bring back the stray goat from the mountainside. Together, the sisters were like two halves of one whole. As children, they played together, walking hand in hand in the forest to gather berries, coaxing the hare and the trembling fawn to take food from their fingers. As young women, they dreamed together, spinning by the fireside alongside their aged mother, as each took turns to read from the great, illuminated book upon the shelf, filled with dark tales of a half-forgotten long ago. "Do you think a prince will come to us?" Rose Red said, her hands clasped about her knees. "A noble prince and courteous, who would wear our favours in his helmet." The mother smiled and shook her head, for they were poor peasants, and the only royalty they were like to meet were the darting kingfisher or the bumbling queen bee. Snow White said, "I wish you would not. My sister is enough for me. Who would be my companion if you left with a prince?" "I will never leave you alone, sister," Rose Red said. Yet she thought she could love a man she had come to know as a friend, a prince who was both gentle and honourable. Their mother called the two girls to her side. "Listen closely, my girls," she said. "You may speak of princes, but not all men are alike. In especial, beware the goblin men. They will tempt you with wicked fruit and lead you to make bargains you cannot keep." The old woman's eyes misted, as though she saw things they did not. But the two girls shuddered as they spun the fine wool. The very idea of goblins was hateful to them. One winter's evening, when snow lay thick on the ground, and the window panels were feathered with frost, the three were spinning by the fire as usual. Suddenly there came a knock at the cottage door. "Hurry and open it, Rose Red," the mother said. "It may be some poor traveller lost in the woods. What a dreadful night to be out in." When Rose Red opened the door, she gave a yelp of shock, for who should come in but a great black bear, with a layer of snow coating his back. Stranger still, the bear began to speak.
"Don't be afraid. I will do you no harm. I only wish to warm myself by the fire, for I am half frozen."
A pet lamb at Snow White's feet whimpered, and Rose Red's pet dove fluttered against the bars of her cage. But the old mother, who was wise in many matters, got to her feet. "Come in, sir. You are most welcome to our hearth." She moved the skeins of wool aside to make room on the rug. "Girls, take your brooms and brush the snow off this poor bear's coat so he doesn't leave puddles." Giggling nervously, the girls did as they were told. The bear shambled in and settled himself before the fire. Snow White soothed her lamb and went back to spinning. The mother returned to her place in the book. The bear's coat soon dried by the warm fire. It looked so furry that Rose Red couldn't resist stroking it. Soon she persuaded Snow White to stroke the bear too. He stretched his limbs and made a contented noise like the purring of an enormous cat. When bedtime came, and the girls had climbed into the loft where they slept, the mother turned to the bear. "I will not ask your name, but you seem to me as one who has lost much. You may sleep here on the hearth if you like, safe from the cold and the evil weather."
"I am in your debt," the bear replied.
So it was that every evening that winter the bear would come to the cottage door and lie on the hearth before the fire until morning. With sunrise, he would shamble back into the forest, and the girls would not see him again until evening. They soon lost all fear of him, and hugged and petted him as freely as if he were a cat. Snow White loved to stroke his thick, black fur and to comb the tangles out of it. She would bury her face in his neck, breathing in the scent of pine and mountain air. Rose Red loved to tease their guest, tickling his belly with sticks and cajoling him into games of rough and tumble. He would toss her between his paws until she screamed with laughter. Then he would stretch himself on the hearth with a shuddering sigh and close his eyes. When springtime came, the bear announced that he must leave them.
"But
"Why must you go, dear bear?" said Snow White with tears in her eyes. "Don't you love us any more?" demanded Rose Red. "I thought we were friends." The bear wrinkled his nose.
"Don't you fret, children. I'll be back next winter. But now the ground is thawing, and the season has come when goblin men emerge from their underground homes. I have long been at war with one of their kind, and have yet found no way to break his power."
At this, Rose Red sniggered. "What a tease you are, bear! As if a great beast like you couldn't overpower a goblin!"
But the mother gravely laid a hand upon the bear's neck. "Beware, my friend. The wiles of the goblins are without number."
The bear nodded his great head.
"Until the snows fall again. I expect you two maids will have grown up much by then. I shan't recognise you. Be bold. Be vigilant."
As the bear left the cottage, his pelt caught on a tiny nail, leaving a tuft of fur behind. Where it came away, Snow White fancied she saw a glimmer of gold. Then the bear was gone, and she thought of it no more.
Springtime brought with it many chores. Seeds to be planted, forgotten corners to sweep. Sometimes the girls remembered their absent friend, and sometimes they were too busy. One day Snow White and Rose Red had gone into the forest to pick wild garlic, when they came upon a fallen tree with something bobbing up and down beside it. Drawing close, they saw a goblin man, no taller than Rose Red's thigh. He had knobbly skin and a long thin beard like an icicle jutting from his chin. His beard was stuck in a cleft, and he was tugging with all his might to get it out. It was the first goblin the girls had met. He didn't seem crafty, but comical. First Rose Red and then Snow White began to laugh.
"Insolent daughters of men," the goblin cried, "stop laughing and help me. Since sunup I've been stuck here. I was trying to split the log for firewood and—"
He tugged his beard again and jumped about until his face was puce. The two girls apologised and began to pull, but the beard was stuck fast.
The goblin swore and cursed. "Sheep-brained dolts, can you do no better than that?"
"Well, you shan't help at all if you're going to be like that," said Rose Red, hands on hips.
At this, the goblin softened his voice.
"Help me, and I will give you a share of my treasure."
Rose Red's eyes lit at this last word, but Snow White seized her by the wrist.
"Remember Mother's words. We must not make bargains with goblin men."
She turned to the goblin. "A good deed is its own reward. I know how to free you." She took her needlework scissors from her apron pocket and snipped the ends off the goblin's beard. But instead of being grateful, the goblin roared with rage.
"What have you done, fiend? How dare you cut my beard?"
With these words, he plucked a small, heavy purse from the cleft in the tree and rushed into the forest, howling as if they'd cut off his leg. The girls said nothing to their mother about the ungrateful goblin. But some weeks later they were going fishing. As they neared the pond, they saw what looked like a giant frog leaping about in the bulrushes. It was the same goblin, with his beard entangled in his fishing line. A fish had taken the bait and was threatening to pull him into the water.
"Don't just stand there. Help me, you heartless mortals."
"You don't deserve it, you know," said Snow White.
But the goblin only howled, fit to bring the wolves running.
"Oh, give me the scissors," said Rose Red. She snipped his beard until it broke free from the fishing line.
The goblin was furious.
"My beard! My beard! Have you any idea what you've done?"
With that, he fished a purse from among the reeds and he ran away, clinking and jingling as he went. The weeks flew by. Spring became summer. Their mother sent Snow White and Rose Red to the nearest town to buy ribbons and lace at the midsummer fair. Each had a coin in her purse, and they laughed and chattered as they walked along. Their way led over a common scattered with large rocks. As they climbed the path,
they saw an eagle swoop down and seize something in its talons. The thing screamed. It was the goblin.
"Help me!"
he yelled. He looked so funny with his legs dangling in the air that the girls couldn't help but make it into a game. Each grabbed a leg and tugged hard until the eagle gave up the struggle. But as they pulled the goblin from the bird's talons, there came a loud cry. The last hairs of the goblin's beard had been torn clean from his chin.
"You interfering idiots!" he shrieked. "Now look what you've done!"
He picked up a sack from behind a rock, shouldered it, and leapt down a hole in the earth. The girls enjoyed themselves so much at the fair that they forgot all about the goblin. But on the way home, they were walking back across the common when they saw something glittering in the grass. Precious stones of every colour lay scattered among the daisies. When the girls bent closer, they inhaled a delicious smell, like the sweetest of summer fruits. "The goblin's treasure," Snow White breathed. "How beautiful it is," Rose Red sighed. "No, Rose Red, we mustn't take the goblin's gift or taste their fruits."
"It's not a gift, it's payment," said Rose Red. "He owes us after all we've done for him."
Before Snow White could stop her, she reached out to touch it.
"Thieves!" a voice shrieked. "You cut off my beard so you could steal my treasure, but I will punish you yet."
The goblin's face contorted with rage. He raised his hands as if to cast a spell. At that moment there was a deafening roar. Out of the forest came a great black bear, its teeth bared in a snarl. It raised a paw to swipe at the goblin.
"Spare me, my lord!"
The goblin snivelled.
"Spare me and I will give you a share of my treasure. See these beautiful precious stones. Smell their delightful scent. All this shall be yours."
The bear growled louder. "You dare offer me my own treasure?"
"No, no, of course not, my lord. But look, here are two delectable girls for you. Only think of the pleasure you would have in devouring them."
"Oh." The bear narrowed its eyes. "Do not mistake me for one of your kind, goblin. Even if I were so inclined, I would never treat women as property. Not everything is a transaction. But this is one payment long overdue."
The bear swiped at the goblin with its mighty paw. The goblin fell and did not move again. Snow White and Rose Red were paralysed with shock. But the bear called out,
"Snow White and Rose Red, don't you recognise me?"
It was their very own bear. They ran to embrace him, but as they did, his coat of fur fell off. He stood up and was transformed into a man, tall and slender, dressed from head to foot in cloth of gold.
"Do not fear," he said to the sisters. "I am still the friend you knew. I am a lord in faerie, a skin changer, who can walk between worlds and live as either man or bear. I fell foul of the goblin with a bargain that bound me to my bear's shape and allowed him to steal my treasure. But you, my dear friends, have set me free. The strength of a goblin lies in his beard, and when you cut it, I was free to take my revenge. For this, I must especially thank you, Snow White. It seems you are impervious to goblin wiles."
Snow White smiled and dropped a curtsy. "But you, Rose Red," said the Bear Lord, "I must ask permission to court you and seek your hand in marriage, for I came to love you during the winter, and I think you love me." Rose Red blushed and realised it was true. She could love a man she had come to know as a friend, a prince who was both gentle and honourable.
"But I cannot leave my sister alone," said Rose Red. "We made a promise to one another, and she loves you too, in her own way."
"As I love her," said the Bear Lord. "Dear sister Snow White, will you not come and live with us in Faerie? And your mother too. My castle is very beautiful. We could all be very happy there."
Snow White's face fell. "I did love you very much as a bear, and I think I could learn to love you as a friend and brother. I cannot leave the home I love so well. The cottage and the herb garden, the lambs and the trembling fawns. I cannot leave the twin rose bushes to fade untended.
The Bear Lord thought a while. I know what we must do, he said. He made the slightest gesture with his hand. Something began to move inside the cast-off bearskin. Snow White went to look. There was the sweetest black bear cub she ever saw. She picked it up in her arms, stroked its warm fur, and buried her face in its neck. So, Rose Red wed the Bear Lord. Each golden summer, they lived at his castle in Faerie. There they planted a red and white rose bush to bloom outside their chamber window. And every winter, when the first snow fell, they would arrive out of the storm to knock at the cottage door. Snow White would let them in, and they would all sit around the hearth, where the old mother spun, and a black bear lay sleeping before the fire.
Thank you for listening to Asexual Fairy Tales. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider subscribing to the podcast. If you really enjoyed it and want to buy me a coffee, you can do that at ko-fi.com/ElizabethHopkinson48513. Don't forget you can follow me on Twitter at @hidden_grove, or go to my website elizabethhopkinson.uk, where you'll find links to all my books. All the links are in the episode description. I really appreciate all your support. Stay safe and keep reading.